Well, it's always right to follow the Lord. I would like to call your attention to a scripture reading found in Psalm 34. In fact, I have several passages from the Psalms that I want to use in this message today, but I want to begin by reading some scripture, starting with the first verse of Psalm 34. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn there to Psalm 34. We find different things in the Psalms. You know, there's prophecy in Psalms. There's things that in Psalms that were foretold of the Lord's sufferings and different things that we find in the Psalms, but there's a lot of the Psalms that are about praise. And in the 34th Psalm, beginning with verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And I'm going to stop my reading there with the 10th verse of Psalm 34 for a scripture reading. And I want to use for a title today, my title will be, It's Good, It's Just So Good. And the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart today In this message, I believe, will be somewhat of a testimony, actually, today. But a few days back, the Lord really began to deal with me and cause me to spend time thinking about, you know, just how good that God has been to me in my life. And I know today that in a sermon, or if you were to stand and testify today of the blessings of God upon your life, I realize that there's no way in a personal testimony or in a sermon or a Sunday school lesson or what have you, I realize there's no way that we could ever truly tell how good that God has been to us. And I've made the statement before you before when we sing the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And certainly there's a good thought that's set forth in that song, and we ought to reflect upon the blessings of God upon our life. But there's no way that we could count all of our blessings, is there? You know, it would be impossible for us to count all the ways that God has blessed us. And it certainly would be impossible for me today in the course of a sermon or you in your testimony to really, you know, explain the goodness of God upon our lives. But perhaps today we can look at a few things that are found in this psalm. And I think that sometimes that it's good for us. I believe sometimes that perhaps we forget this. Sometimes in the busy world that we live in and the busy lives that people seem to live today, I think sometimes the blessings of God upon our life, they escape us. And sometimes we need to just be reminded of how good that God is and how good that He has been to us. And I realize that, you know, I've thought oftentimes about the Psalms and some of the Psalms especially that I read that are Psalms of David. I've thought about at times, you know, it's easy to envy him and to wish that you could write the beautiful things about God that David was able to write oftentimes in these Psalms. I mean, and in other places as well, in the Chronicles. I mean, David just penned down some beautiful, beautiful things about the Lord. But I realized that even in his beautiful writing, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that he didn't come anywhere close to telling all the story. And so, but again today, perhaps we can look at some things and perhaps be reminded of the goodness of God upon us, upon our lives. And I've got to tell you today that it's a wonderful, wonderful experience to be a child of the King. Amen. To know that you're saved and to know that you're headed to heaven. There are things in this world, and there's a common cliche, a common saying that we hear a lot of times that people use, but there are things in this world and different aspects of our life that would be, I suppose, they would be like somebody who had the job of operating an elevator. You know, if somebody did that all day, if their job was to operate an elevator all day, and you asked that person, well, you know, what do you think about your job? Then he could say, well, it's certainly got its ups and downs. And I think that's the way that a lot of things are with us in our lives. And I know that I'm sure that you've heard that expression before from people. Well, what do you think about, you know, the type of work that you do, or what about this, or what about that? I know I thought about, you know, in the years that I tried to be an athlete when I was in school, you know, when I was on the wrestling team, when it came time to actually go to the meets and actually go out there on the mat and try to win against my opponent, man, I mean, I loved it. I loved it when we came to the meets, but there were times, you know, things that they put us through and practicing and all that, that I just didn't care a whole lot for it. And so if you would ask me, well, what, you know, how did you feel about being on the wrestling team? I'd have said, well, it's got its ups and downs. And we generally, you know, we generally say that and feel that way about most things in life. Not all things, but most things in life, our jobs and things that we do from day to day. We think, well, it's got its good points and it's got its bad points. But listen, when it comes to being a child of God, there's nothing negative to be said about it. I mean, there's nothing bad. I've never heard one person testify yet, you know, and say, well, I'm glad that I've got saved, but it certainly does have its ups and downs. I've never heard that from anybody. All that we ever express when we tell our testimonies and thank God for the goodness that He bestowed upon us in saving us, it's always positive. It's all yay and it's no nay. It's all good. It's good, isn't it? It's good to be a child of God. In verse 2 of this psalm, the psalmist said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And listen, those of us that have been saved, we certainly have something to boast about. And, you know, there are many things in the world. Now, you will hear in the course of your day and throughout your life, you are going to hear people boast. That is something that the human being is going to do. They are going to make their boast about things. Their people are going to boast in a lot of different ways. They're going to boast about their riches. They're going to boast about their strength. They're going to boast about their knowledge. There are people that oftentimes are in a very prestigious place in life, perhaps holding a high position or something like that, something of prestige, and they're going to boast in that. But I'm going to tell you about something today that you can really boast about. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, he spoke about those things, and listen to the verse. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Amen. And so, you know, it's good to be a humble person. And whenever that, if you have a gift, if you have something that you are able to do and do well, then certainly you ought to thank the Lord for the ability to do that. But it's certainly good to remain humble and not brag about the things that you're able to do. But I'm thankful today that I have something that I can truly boast about. I can boast, as the psalmist said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And it's like Paul said, he even pronounced that we be forbidden. He said, "God forbid that I should glory save or except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the world, where I'm crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me." You know what? Today, that's all I really have to boast in, because there's nothing good about me. The Apostle Paul felt that way about himself. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And the only, you know, the only good thing that can be said about me today is that the Lord saved my soul, and he took up residence there, and he dwells within me. And other than what God has done for me, I have nothing at all to boast of in myself, but I can boast in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me when he saved my soul. And that's where my soul makes her boast. You know, the Bible tells us that in the second chapter of Ephesians that we are saved by grace. And you know what that does? That excludes boasting in ourselves. But it allows us to boast in the Lord. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are his workmanship. God has done that. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so the person that has truly been saved, now there may be people that are boasting about what they have done, but I'm going to tell you something. If you are relying upon something that you have done to get you into heaven, then you are going to miss the boat. In fact, you've already missed it. Because there's nothing that we can do in order to save ourselves. But in the Lord, our soul can make its boast. In verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." I don't generally preach things verse to verse, but in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Church, isn't it only right that we lift up the Lord? Isn't it only right that we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, listen, if you're going to exalt anybody, you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that's worthy of all possible honor and glory and praise that we can give to him. And I'll tell you what, God ought to receive praise, and he ought to receive exaltation from those that he has saved from their sins. God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. And the scriptures tell us here in the 34th Psalm that we ought to magnify the Lord together and exalt his name together. In Psalm 149, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Do you ever think about, the way that we have our services and the way that we worship, whether or not it's scriptural? Well, let me tell you something. I believe that when we come together, that it's right for us to sing our songs, that it's right for us to sing the songs of Zion, that it's right to lift up the name of the Lord in song, because the Bible speaks too much about it for us not to do it. I mean, you're going to the Psalms, and you'll always find place after place where it was written that we ought to lift up happy voices in song and praise the Lord in that way and exalt him in song. And we ought to exalt him in our testimonies, because in the 107th Psalm we are told, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'll tell you what, I've been in what people called worship services. I've been in them before where nobody was encouraged, or nobody was even invited in the congregation to stand up and say what was on their heart. It was planned out and it was scheduled, and the only one that was speaking was the preacher. I'm glad that we give way to the Spirit of God, and when God moves upon your heart, you stand up and testify for him and praise him, because it's right and it's comely, and we ought to praise him together. Let him be praised. Let his name be exalted when the saints assemble to worship the Lord. I'll tell you what, if we don't exalt the name of the Lord today, we're going to fail. If we don't lift up the name of Jesus today, then we're not going to accomplish in this service what is the most important thing of all. Every time we come together, what we do redounding to the honor and the glory of God is the most important thing that we could possibly accomplish here today. God is great. I'll tell you what, God is real in my life. He's real in my life. I don't know a God today, and I don't serve a God today that exists anywhere but right here. I know this is his word, and I believe it, and I believe it's the truth, but the God that I know walks with me and talks with me. I had a good talk with him early this morning, and I know that he's real. He's real in my life, and I had a real experience of salvation. And I've heard it put this way, and I believe it's a good analogy. My wife and I, we got married almost 35 years ago, and we've got a paper, we've got a certificate that says that we're married, but I don't have to read that to know how I feel about her. And I don't have to, I'm not dependent just upon the written word of God to be my witness. Amen. I've got the witness of the Spirit. Amen. When I was saved, I want to tell you this. When I was saved, I didn't go and pick up the Bible and read it to see if I was saved. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit bore witness with my spirit, and he let me know that I had been saved. Was I saved according to his word? Absolutely. According to his truth. But there's more witness to our salvation than what the Bible says. And I'm glad that there is. thankful that there is. We ought to magnify the Lord and lift him up together. Let's look at something. It's familiar to all of us. But you talk about something that I believe within six little verses, that I believe a man once penned down under inspiration of God, that really expressed the goodness of God upon the life of a person that has been saved. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You ever had your cup run over? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, what else could you take away from that? I'll tell you what, he was expressing as well as he could the goodness of God in his life. He's my shepherd. From day to day, he is my shepherd. He is my strength. Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil. And folks, I'll tell you something. We are walking right now through that valley. While we live here in this life, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all around us, isn't it? I'm glad that I don't have to fear any evil. I'm glad that I can lay my head down at night and know that if I never see the dawning of another day in this world, I'll see a greater day. I'll be at home with the Lord. That consoles me like nothing else ever could. In verse 4, I believe everybody that's been saved can relate to this. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And he has. And everybody that's ever been saved has repented. The Bible also tells us that faith, total faith, is required in order to be saved. And everybody that's ever truly been saved has placed all their trust in the Lord by his help and been saved. But I'm going to tell you something. There's never been anybody that found the Lord without seeking the Lord. Amen. I sought the Lord. I don't tell people, we have mourner's benches here, and I'm glad we do. I don't tell people they have to be on them to be saved. I wasn't. Some of you were. I wasn't. But I do say this, that you're going to have to seek the Lord in order to be saved. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Do you remember what the Lord did for you when you sought him? You remember that? Has anything ever been better than that? Do you remember the fear that was in your heart when you realized your lost condition before God? You remember, the things that David expressed there in the 116th Psalm? The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Listen, when I was lost, when I was under conviction of sin, I had anything but peace in my soul. I had trouble and I had fear and I had sorrow in my soul. But when I was able by the help of God to repent to his satisfaction and to trust him to his satisfaction, God took all of that away. And I have not had fear in my soul from that very moment the way that I did before. It never has come back. Amen. I've had some things that I feared. I've had some natural fears, of course. But I have never, from that moment that God spoke to my soul, gave me peace, my soul from that moment has never feared loss. I've never again feared the loss, the eternal loss of my soul. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. I've got one more thought. I appreciate your patience today. I've got one more thought that I want to share with you from the seventh verse of this psalm. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. You know, throughout my life, and thank God for it, because there have been so many times when I don't know what I would have done without it, but thank the Lord that through my life that there's been a divine presence with me. Can you relate to that? The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear Him, that love Him, that reverence Him. There's a divine presence. If you've been saved today, I'm confident. I may ask the question, but I'm confident of the answer. I believe you know that same thing as I do, that there's a divine presence with you, that He's always there. I'm reminded from time to time, by a still, gentle, small voice that God is with me. There have been times in my life when He would remind me in a very powerful way that He is with me. I can go to Him anytime. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. God is always there. He's never more than just a prayer away from His children. It has accompanied my life, the presence, the divine holy presence of God. The Bible tells us that His holy angels, that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that are heirs of salvation. You believe that God's holy angels still help His children today? I sure do. They encamp around us and they minister to us the way that the Lord said that they would. In Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In Psalm 73:1, listen to this. I love this verse. Truly, God is good to Israel. We are Israel. We're the true Israel, the spiritual Israel. God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. I would rather have the Lord. I've got some good friends in life. People that I really believe I could count on if I needed their help, but I'd rather have the Lord on my side than anybody I've ever known. If God be for us, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, isn't it good to be a child of God? Isn't it the greatest blessing that you could ever even imagine to know the Lord, to know that no matter what happens, that all is well with your soul? Have you ever, in those dark moments in your life, in those things, those times in your life when something was really trying you, has God ever lifted you up to the place and made you to realize no matter what happens, no matter how this turns out, no matter what the outcome is, this too will pass, and all is well with my soul. And no matter what happens to me here, I'm going to walk heaven's streets one day. I'm going to be with God, and these trials and these troubles that I faced here in this life will be so far behind me that I'll never think of them. They won't plague me at all. I'll tell you what, we're going to face some troubles here, but they're going to be temporary. They're going to be temporary. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm just glad to be saved. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you today. I'm just thankful to be a child of God. I'm glad that I don't have to boast superficially. I'm glad that I don't have to boast. Well, I can't anyway, but I'm glad that I don't that my boast is not in riches or in my strength, my own might, or in knowledge or anything like that. My soul boasts in the Lord and what He did for me. And you know what? I love being saved. I cherish and adore the salvation that the Lord gave me so much that I want everybody else to have it. Amen. If you're here today and you're lost, my greatest desire for you is not that you get rich in this life or not that you be famous in this life, but that you would come to know the same Jesus that I know. And He offers salvation to everybody, everybody that will meet His conditions. Trust Him, repent of your sins, trust Him with all your heart, and you can be saved. How many of you can witness that? That you can be saved. I've been saved, and I'm thankful for that. And I want you to be saved. While we have a song, if you're here today, it's so good. Let me tell you, friend, it's so good. I mean, it's just so good. It's better than I could possibly explain to you. It's better felt than told. It's better experienced than it is told. So I pray that you'll have a desire to have the salvation that the Lord can offer while we stand and sing.
Heavenly Highway Hymn Book number 240.